I think so.
Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
There's no cool songs about Florida, man. I mean, but, you know, that's the best thing to get in there. Rob Ford.
Gotta get my man Rob some love.
It should be like, Rob Ford. Does Rob even know that song? You know that song, Rob, we talked about, bro?
Oh, yeah, I know it.
Okay. You say, yeah, just
what's up,
you
world?
Quiet. He was quiet like, I want to be associated with that. Yeah, it's all good. Hey, welcome to Talking Sports with 12th Man. October the 25th. Shout out to my cousin, Jonathan. Happy birthday, bro. You know, my little cousin, man. So a lot of love for him. And it's his birthday today, too, man.
Yes, sir. Happy birthday.
You know, not getting in too much trouble. He's a good kid, man. So a lot of love. He sounds just like Drake on that one Passion Fruit album. That's him, bro. So that's Jonathan. A lot of love. Anyway, America, we are ready to talk some sports, man. I know, a little segue to the segue here. But, again, I'm your host, Dre. Let's kick it in with my fellow co-host, Mr. JQ. How are you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I can't complain. In a couple of days, I'm going to head down to Tampa and hang out with my homeboy for his 40th birthday. We get a little alcohol on us, I might actually hit Taquan for real. So, you know, I'll keep y'all posted.
Hit Taquan. Yeah, if you do that, bro, definitely let us know, man. That's what's up, man. So Tampa's a good spot, too, for sure.
So drink curious, beer man. Every day.
This joke. That other voice that you hear, America, it is the voice of T-Rob. Mr. Rob Ford, how you feeling this evening, Rob?
Man, feeling good, man. You got a little Mexican food in you. So, man, you know, hey, might be a lot of gas tonight, but it felt good going down.
Oh, my gosh.
That boy's a fool.
Oh, man, Rob Ford. All right, so without further ado, your boy, let's kick off the show here. Again, we've had a good week of some stress-free calls. I hope we keep it going. Reluctantly giving out the number, the 424. The 42. Hold on, let me say it, make sure I said the number right. I don't even want to give it out, bro. The 424-243-9519, that's the number. Follow us on Twitter, at the number 12, THMAN Sports. Glad a lot of love for that. And finally, on Facebook, you go to facebook.com/12thManSports or Talking Sports. Put the 12th man, you will find us in that arena, as we always do. So, gentlemen, let's kick this party off. Obviously, topical subject right about the World Series. You know, we're just coming off the Clayton Kershaw's amazing 11 strikeout performance last night, and now and then now we're going to talk it off. Right now, they're holding on to a nice little lead. Right now, it's been amazing, this little 3-1 thing here. From currently watching, 3-2, man, they just scored. So, Rob, tell us about your thoughts about this, and JQ, stay tuned, because you know, I want to hear what Rob has to say about this, man. So go ahead, Rob.
Well, obviously, so far in this series, we got a couple of low-scoring games. The Dodgers are getting by, with, of course, with the pitching. Kershaw has really stepped up this year in the postseason, as opposed to what we've seen out of him the last few years in the postseason. So, obviously, this is great news for the Dodgers, give them a great chance and a great opportunity to move forward and win a championship. And, of course, the bullpen has been a beast. Justin Turner has been outstanding as far as swinging the bat. They got a couple of clutch home runs tonight, and holding on to this lead and see if they'll hold on and with a 2-0 series back in Houston.
Hold on to your love. Go ahead, JQ.
Don't hurt him. Yeah, man. You, pretty much nailed
job,
it.
Andre.
You're welcome. I got more where that's coming from, too. Go ahead.
You know. No, Rob hit it on the head. You know, the Dodgers have, you know, they had a big stretch in the regular season. They hit a little lull. when the Diamondbacks were making a charge on them, but then they reasserted themselves in the playoffs. And you talk about Kershaw finally being the Kershaw in the of the regular season in the postseason, and you're still looking at Hill and, you know, Darvish. I mean, they just have a squad, you know, getting timely hits, home runs. There's not much, a whole lot more you can say about them. I do like the fact that Verlander is looking more like Verlander. I'm happy for him. He seems like a decent dude. But
yeah,
that Dodgers team, they just have that look about them. You know what I mean? And I don't know if Houston can overcome that. So it's looking like the Dodgers since 88.
Yeah. It's the first time in the World Series in 1988. Hard to believe in
a market
like Los Angeles and the amount of money that they spend on a yearly basis. But it looked like they might have finally spent the money in the right places to put a team together. Justin Verlander was outstanding early in this game. And, of course, now we just got a strikeout. Looked like in and over here. We're going into the bottom of the eight. Dodgers lead 3-2 here. But it looked like they finally spending the money in the right places. I think the payroll was, $235 million this year? Unreal.
Some ignorant like that.
I would have left Kershaw a little more last night, but they took him out, you know, kind of let him, you know, keep going, man. But, you know, definitely one for the ages, man, from last night, too. So, like you said, Rob, JQ, good call to see him pitch well in the postseason because he's been having that little struggle, too. So, managers pushing all
the
right buttons, everything is fine. Yeah, again, I get that. So, it was just good. He was on that record-setting pace. So, you're like, man, just keep it going, man. So, good game. And like you said, looks like L.A., a lot of your fans seeing Timberlake and, you know, Ken Jeong, a lot of those guys have a lot of love, man. So that's what it's all about. Speaking of Kershaw, so, you know, he's finally performing in the postseason. So we kind of touched base on the next two topics of the year. So, again, you know, your thoughts about this, JQ, and then obviously Miles will talk about the postseason MVP. Is it Justin Turner or is it Clayton Kershaw? I still think it's really early right now. We've still got a couple more games, too, though it looks like it's the you know, Dodgers number, but they still got to go to Houston. So tell us your thoughts about that, you know, Clayton Kershaw, the year for the Dodgers, and then the postseason MVP as well.
Yeah, you know, just to reiterate what I said before, you know, it's good to see him, you know, kind of get that monkey off his back, so to speak. And I don't know if it was mental or if he wasn't just totally right, but he looks like he's totally right now. So, you know, you got to give him a lot of credit for staying mentally tough and putting those past struggles behind him and finally putting it together in this postseason. That's a tough topic, him or Turner, because, you know, Kershaw pitches, you know, once every three or four games, but that man Turner has been in the middle of almost all the rallies. I mean, just keeping them going, he's definitely has been the straw, you know, to stir the drink, you know, still a Reggie Jackson saying. So if I had to, I would lean more to him because he's an everyday player and he's getting it done like every day. I mean, it's almost must watch TV when he comes up the bat because he has not been an easy out for anybody this postseason, let alone the Astros. So, you know, shout out to Kershaw for what he's doing. But to me, a slight edge to Turner because he's playing every day and he's just been phenomenal.
Yeah. Rob, your head. Go ahead, bro.
Well, yeah, for postseason MVP for the Dodgers, I think thus far is definitely Justin Turner. I think Kershaw has a chance to be World Series MVP if he wins another game in this series and it be dominant as he was last night. If he wins two games in dominant fashion, then I think it's a really good case that he could be the World Series MVP. But I think thus far for the Dodgers, the entire postseason, you have to give it to Justin thus far. I mean, as JQ mentioned, he's been very timely in hitting and home runs and he's been, you know, a big nucleus in there as far as being an offensive weapon for the Dodgers on a daily basis. So definitely, I think thus far for the entire postseason for the Dodgers, he's their MVP, even with the outstanding pitching that they've been getting from their starting lineup as well as from the bullpen. But like I said, Kershaw still has a chance to be World Series MVP if he has another dominant victory in this series, especially if it's 4-0 or 4-1 or something like that. And he's got two of those out of four or five games.
Nice.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yep, I can see that as well. Good call. All right. That's enough for the Major League Baseball update. Let's kick it on to some college football, gentlemen. Are the Wisconsin Badgers playoff contenders is the question. Yeah, go ahead, JQ. Are they? Yo, what's up?
I mean, you have to say yes, because they are undefeated. Now the Big Ten West is a trash heap, and I'll give you that. It's just bad on that side. Mm-hmm. So will they be able to run the table and not step their toes? They're going to have to. But if they go to the Big Ten title game and they beat, you know, an Ohio State or a Penn State, I mean, I think they're in. I think the Big Ten winner is in, you know, unless something catastrophic happens where they all lose games and like games they shouldn't lose to a Northwestern or you know, Iowa or Rutgers or something crazy like that, where none of them come through the Big Ten and play you know, unscathed. But if they keep that up and they keep their end up on the in the Big West and you know whoever they play coming out of the East and they beat them, I think they are. Now that being said, do I think they make noise if they get into the college football playoffs? I don't think so. But if you say, are they potentially going to get in with the way that Ohio State and Penn State have been ranked and Wisconsin, really, truly, you got to take Michigan off because they just have, you know, fallen off the turnpike and crashed and burned. But then you got Michigan State playing better. So you drop off of Michigan, but you add a Michigan State in that East, that Big Ten has got strong representation. So if they find a way to win out, and that includes winning the Big Ten title game, it'd be hard-pressed for you to lead them out of the college football playoffs.
Yeah, that's a big if, though, JQ. But I'm with you. Go ahead, Rob.
Huge if.
Huge.
When you look at this Wisconsin program, you know, they don't really get the 4- and 5-star recruits as other teams in the Big Ten, like Ohio State. Penn State has been getting their share recently. Of course, Michigan has been getting their share. So their program is built on getting some really good 3-star recruits, getting them in the weight program, redshirting them for a year. And they play very disciplined and sound defense. Guys just make smart decisions. I mean, they definitely are well coached. But just look at this schedule they have left. Illinois, victory. Indiana, victory. Iowa, victory. At home against Michigan, the way Michigan is playing right now, victory. Minnesota, victory. That's the rest of their regular season schedule will put them as undefeated in the regular season, which puts them pretty much in the Big Ten championship game. And on one game, they have an opportunity to win and still be undefeated. And so I would say they definitely have a chance of being in the playoffs. And there's an outside chance, depending on how they look in the championship game and lose, with only one loss still getting into the playoff based on what other teams do in other conferences. So, I mean, I think there's a pretty strong chance that they have a chance of making it to the playoffs. And there's an outside chance that even if they lose the Big Ten championship, Big Ten might have two teams in the playoffs when you look at how highly ranked Penn State, Ohio State, and Wisconsin is. I know Georgia and Alabama at some point will probably face each other, and we'll, you know, depending on. And that's another one-loss team that could possibly still get in the playoffs. And if TCU goes undefeated, it looked like they could have a chance of being a Big 12 champion, but they also could probably slip up down the road as well. So you never know. I think there's definitely a strong chance.
Yeah, and I think you can go ahead and remove the Pac-12 because of what happened to Washington, Washington State last weekend. You can remove them from there. And the ACC, and I thought coming into it, the ACC was the strongest, but that Clemson loss to Syracuse looms very, very large because you also got Notre Dame with one loss, but that's to now a number 3 ranked number Georgia team, so or number 4. So you know that gives them a pretty good resume. And you know, don't sleep on that NC State game. NC State Clemson and the NC State Notre Dame game this week are going to be huge in the ACC. And I still think the polls and the voters still want to give Clemson a shot to get in there defend that championship if they can get through there with only that one loss to Syracuse. So there's a lot of moving parts is why I say that. But given where they stand right now and who they have left on the schedule, like Rob said, and a chance to have a really good victory in the Big Ten title game, you got to put them in that short conversation of, you know, 5-17.
If they pull off the victory, that's what we got to talk about that. Because, you know, I don't think they're going to beat a Penn State if that's the case. But, you know, again, stranger things have happened. But, again, that strength of schedule, I don't think it's as strong, Rob. I mean, you can only play who's in front of you, obviously. So, you know, like you said, it is what it is. You're talking about the ACC, JQ, a lot of injuries, you know, like the Florida States of the world. I mean, that's something that you saw. So that's just kind of what kind of depleted the ACC, and the Louisville didn't do what they're supposed to do. It's just crazy, man. So, yeah, it's just crazy, man. It is an interesting, you know, schedule. You knew that Clemson was strong, having a lot of, you know, the defense and, you know, had a lot of new players. But, you know, again, it's just – we'll see how that plays out too, because Clemson is a good name right now. So you want that Clemson, you know, Florida State team to kind of like do their thing, but you know, just due to injuries and whatnot, and the ACC's a little down. But yeah, we'll see who plays out after the dust settles. Who's going to be there too, for sure? Yeah,
but they're not so down because NC State has been pulled up. So yes, you lose Florida State and you lose Louisville, but you gain NC State and you gain Notre Dame. And it's crazy to put Notre Dame in the ACC, but for football.
Yeah.
You know, that's where they are.
They play five games.
So you take two, but you add two, so you still have that strength.
Yeah.
And I still think, like you said, that Clemson name and them being a national, defending national champions, if they run the table, I think they're in. I honestly do, even with one loss. If they run the table, they're in. Robin's point is valid, I think, but I think my Buckeyes may have ruined it for any potential non-conference champions this year to leapfrog a conference champion. It'd be interesting to see if they do it again, you know, with a one loss, whoever loses. If all things assumed, if Georgia and Alabama went out and meet in Atlanta, do they give that, you know, one-loss team a shot? Or Wisconsin, if they went out? I think, you know what, honestly, I think if Wisconsin loses, they're out, because the strength of their schedule is not going to allow them to jump somebody else with one loss. So they got to win out to get in. So that's what predicated them. They're winning out. If they win out, they're in. But if they lose one, I think they're out. But I don't think that happens to Georgia or Alabama if they lose one, if that game is to the other team. You know what I mean? So that's your strongest possibility of getting a non-conference team into the top four.
Yeah, good call. All right, so I guess that's it for that. As we kind of debate what's happening on that front in the Wisconsin Badgers, if you will. So, I am curious to see what happens as the season wraps up too. But speaking of that, let's go right into the college football predictions here, and let's kick it off with number 11, Oklahoma State, at number 22, West Virginia. What say you, Rob?
Well, I know West Virginia is a very tough place to go on the road and get a win. I know Oklahoma State has had one slip up this season, but I just, you know, I really like them on the offensive side of the football. They get a little bit better defensively. I think they won a nail biter over Texas this past week, but I'm going to go with Oklahoma State on the road, winning in a tough environment. Mason Rudolph and that team, I just like them to go on the road and get a win. They'll squeak it out, though. It'll be close.
I'm slipping.
Yeah, I'm straight tripping. Man, you are clowning. I'm with Rob. I could, Will Greer has really had a good year for them in Morgantown, and I could see them burning the couches after the victory of beating Oklahoma State. I can. You know what? I'm just going to say it. I'm going to take West Virginia in the upset to beat Oklahoma State. I think it's a shootout. I think it's a flat-out shootout. It's going to end up being an arena game. Whoever has the ball last, I think, wins that game. That crowd, and, you know, we've seen, you know, TCU is a good team. So I'm not going to knock Oklahoma State for losing to TCU, because TCU has pretty much showed that they're a good team. But that struggle at Texas, they didn't look good. And I don't know if that was them getting trapped looking ahead, but I just feel like Will Greer finds a way. And I could be totally wrong. I just, neither one of them is going to play a lick of defense. That game is going to be great to watch.
64 to 62.
Yeah, it could be something real ignorant.
Arena football.
No defense.
That's what it is. That's what it's going to be.
Defense is just there just to sit there and occupy the time. All right.
Yes.
This is a big one. Number 2, Penn State. And number 6, Ohio State. JQ, what say you?
Now you know I'm going to pick Ohio State, because I'm a full-blown homer, and I admit to being a full-blown homer.
Is that what your
homer.
Head or your heart, that, or both?
That's with my heart. If I was going with my head, but I'm still picking Ohio State, if I was going with my head, if I have two teams that I feel like are pretty evenly matched like I think they are, I generally go with the team that has the best player. And there's no doubt about it that Saquon Barkley is the best player on that field in that game. He's going to be the difference maker one way or the other. They're going to have to bottle him up and make Trace beat him. But, you know, Mr. Do-Everything Saquon returns kicks, he catches passes, he throws passes, he runs the ball, of course. But it being in Columbus, I'm going to, you know, and being a homer, and it's a full-blown homer pick, I'm going to take Ohio State by 3.
Okay. Rob, what say you, bro?
I'm right. I have actually Ohio State 27-24. You know, I'm basing this, obviously, having the home field advantage. In this particular game. And when, obviously, Michigan just can spur up enough offense. I think Ohio State will be able to have enough offense to keep Penn State's offense off the field somewhat through this game. And Michigan just didn't have enough to on the offensive side of the ball to do that. I think Penn State will be able to do – I mean, I'm sorry, Ohio State will be able to do that, especially at home. They have the personnel to be able to do that as well. So I say they squeak out a win. Obviously, wow. If this game was in Penn State or on a neutral field, I probably would lean a little toward Penn State. But in Columbus, I got to go with Ohio State winning a close one here.
Wow.
Hey.
All right. I know we're in the minority. I listen. I full blown said mine with a homer pick. It's homer pick acknowledged.
Hey, it's all good, bro. All right, good call. Let's talk about number 4 TCU at number 25 Ohio State, Rob.
I like TCU. Kenny Hill has been, outstanding pickup. Coming over from Texas A&M in the transfer quarterback position for TCU. He's doing a phenomenal job. They're well coached on the defensive side of the football as well. Another one of these programs that, as we mentioned about Wisconsin, don't always get the 4- and 5-star guys, even being in Texas. But obviously a program that's well coached and developed their players. You get a big transfer in Kenny Hill. It really helps you out as well. So they've overachieved this year, but they're playing really good football. They go on the road and get this win.
Nice. Rob. That's good, Rob. I'm sorry. JQ, your thoughts? I was going to comment on that.
Yeah, but you know what? Iowa State has also been playing really good ball since they knocked off Oklahoma. But I think TCU's just got a little bit stronger defense. I agree. Kenny Hill just making plays, and he always had that ability to make those plays. He just got in his own way at Texas A&M and had to transfer. But I saw that interview he gave on game day, and it seems like he's, kind of settling himself down. But the talent was always there. I mean, you just think about what he did following up after Johnny Manziel and still had that A&M program looking pretty good till the wheels fell off and he fell off personally, and it affected his play on the field. But I think, again, TCU goes on the road. I'm taking a road team this one. I think they go on the road. This guy's a little too much for Iowa State, and they win by 6.
Wow, good call. Houston has tied it up, too, by the way, if you were checking on that, too. Top of the ninth. Man, that's crazy. All right. Let's wrap it up with another huge game, gentlemen. Number 14, NC State at number 9, Notre Dame. Wow. This is a good game. JQ was talking about the aforementioned NC State, and, we were talking about ACC and, what's been replaced. So what say you, JQ, on this matchup?
Well, since I just would never pick Notre Dame, so I just don't think it's going to happen for me personally. I think that USC team is really overrated and they got exposed. Not that the Notre Dame team is bad, but that dude Chubb for NC State coming off the edge is a game changer, and he's a wrecker. And I think he's the difference in that game. He does just enough to give NC State a couple short fields to knock off Notre Dame. It's not going to be easy. These are really good games. I could see myself being totally 0-4. And sit here like I don't know anything, because these are really good slate of games. I think they could go either way, to be honest with you. But I just like, again, him wrecking the game plan coming off the edge. And if you double or chip him, then that leaves one less guy that doesn't go on the route, and it frees up other guys for one-on-one opportunities to rush the quarterback. So I'm going to go with NC State by 4.
Wow. Good call. JQ, good stuff on that. Go ahead, Rob.
NC State is very balanced offensively, too. They're very diverse, so they have a very balanced attack. They can beat you in a lot of ways on the offensive side of the ball as well. But when games are this close, I tend to lean toward the home team, and I think this is another one of those games that I think is going to be really close. I envisioned Notre Dame beating USC last week. I didn't think it was going to be that bad. And that was a complete shocker. Notre Dame's at home in this game. I think in close matchups like this, I usually tend to lean toward the home team. And so I think they will win another game by a field goal, 30-27.
Nice.
Okay. And I'm going to miss all of this. I'm going to be out at partying with my homeboy. I'm going to miss all of it. Well, that's not true. I'm going to watch it on my phone.
I'm gonna say you're gonna watch. You definitely gonna watch the Penn State Ohio State game. That's a lot. You gonna watch that for sure.
Because I'm trying to go have a good time, and that was stressing me out. So I'm probably not gonna watch that game.
Okay. I stand corrected. My apologies. Okay. All right. Fair enough. And I do want to talk about this real quickly too, gentlemen, because you know, you talk about that just a mud hole. Somebody got stomping for Notre Dame at Stanford, or excuse me, USC. I'm thinking of that. Did that affect Sam Darnold's draft stock in that game, Rob? Your thoughts on that, or what? Was that just kind of like just what, or was it like the old saying that your boy said they are what we thought we were? What do you think about that and his draft stock?
Well, I can say this, it doesn't take Stevie Wonder. I'm sorry, I'm misphrasing that. But I think Stevie Wonder can see that Sam Darnold has not been that impressive this year, and okay. So it's very easy for anyone to see that. Obviously, listening to pro scouts, evaluators, things of that nature, they still, even with the season that he's having, they still think very highly of Sam Darnold and still project him to being the number one quarterback in the draft. Obviously, wow. We know how this goes every year. Once the football season is over, once you get into the interview room, once you get into the workout sessions, once you get to the Senior Bowl, once you get to the combine, individual workouts, draft boards are going to change tremendously between now and the actual draft. So we'll see how it – but as of now, most pro evaluators still have him as a number one pick in the NFL draft, even as shaky that he has been this season. So it's really mind-boggling because USC was clearly a team that I envisioned to be in the playoff this year when you look at their personnel. And that whole team is really underachieved this year.
Yep. I don't know if you want to add to that, JQ.
Yeah, just real fast, the last time I looked, Tiger Mache still had him as the number one, and he had Allen and Rosen in, like, the top 10. I was like, is he watching the same season I'm watching? But Rob nailed it, and that's part of what I think is going to happen. And I don't think, just from a different perspective, I don't think he's necessarily going to fall. I think he's going to end up staying because we talk about it all the time. Quarterbacks always artificially rise throughout the combine and process because they get out there and they can call the plays and whatnot. And then and coaches say, oh, well, I can coach you up in these areas to fix him, then he'll be great. And they fall in love with a guy. It only takes one fool to fall in love with him and draft him too high. Yeah. So I don't think it does. You know, you get a quarterback and you feel like he has the attributes. There's always going to be a coach. Is right. It's going to always be a coach or two that feels like, with my coaching and my philosophies, he can be really good for us. And that's all it's going to take. And that's what's going to happen, I think.
Yeah. Teams will always overdraft quarterbacks. No doubt about that.
That's true. Yeah. I was just curious, man.
It will always
like,
get drafted higher than their value.
All the time. It's been one of those, like, not the best season, but, you consistent, like you said, both of you guys said it. They're like, oh, he's still – I'm like, this guy looks terrible, man. I don't get it, man, So, again, I know I'm at the sharpest tool in the shed, but, I'm like, dude, come on, man. Even as Rob says, Stevie Wonder can see that not the best year, man. You got a lot of talent too, bro. So, I don't know. I could see if you were playing on with the school with not as much talent, but you at USC, bro. So, I don't know. That's just a whole other conversation as well, man. But anyway, that was it for our college football recap here. We got about 60 minutes or so, gentlemen. Let's talk about some basketball here. Let's talk about the Grizzlies and the Mavericks recap. And the question is, are the Grizzlies for real? That's you, Rob. What do you think about this, man?
Well, I can tell you, prior to the season, I thought the Grizzlies were going to be one of those teams in the Western Conference that fall off this season. And that's been the furthest from the truth. Here thus far, and they really are surprising us with a lot of depth on the basketball team. And the guy Dylan from Oregon, he's really come off the bench and really been scoring the basketball really well for him. Mike Conley and Marc Gasol both have been very impressive to start the season off. Even with losing Jermichael Green, who we thought was going to be a big blow, losing him early in the season. But their team that's starting off the season 3-1 is still early in the year, but they're definitely a team that I thought, that I envisioned, that were going to fall off this season. Obviously lost their first game tonight to Dallas. Dennis Smith Jr. went off on them for 19 points. But that was the first loss, but they beat Golden State. They had a couple other good wins as well.
Houston.
We'll see how long this lasts. But based on the few games that I've seen them play this season, it looked like they have some really good depth on their basketball team, which I did not expect going into the season.
Wow. The NBA evaluators, they got to give those Ducks a little bit more credit because, I mean, Jordan Bell, just if he could find more minutes on that Golden State team, he looks good. And now you talk about Dylan as well. So, it's early, you know, and I was with you, Rob, so I'm not going to leave you out there stranded, you know, on that dinghy by yourself. I was there with you. I thought Memphis would be one of those teams that took a step back as well. But, you know, Gasol and Conley just flat out – actually, they're doing what they got paid to do, and it's crazy because we talked about, you know, more for Mike Conley, but even in somewhat in the case of Gasol, the contracts that they have, like, you know, is that going to be an albatross? They're not going to really be able to improve because they got so much money tied up in those two guys. So far, you know, and like I said, small sample size, those guys are living up to that billing. So they're actually playing the way they should be playing given the amount of money they're making, but I want to see a little bit more. You know, let's revisit this, you know, at Thanksgiving and see what's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, Dylan Brooks has been really a surprise for them, second-round draft pick. Tyreek Evans, a guy that can come off the bench and score for you a little bit. Conley and Gasol had 26 and 21 respectively tonight. And they get Jermichael Green back, another 6'10 guy, long arms, play defense, and can also run the floor. Who's really become a really solid basketball player, too. And so when they get him back, they can also be a little bit better. But obviously losing to Dallas, that's not a team. That's the team you expected to beat. So that's the big blow to them tonight.
Yeah, that's their first
loss and Dallas' first win.
Right, after you beat Golden State and Houston, you lose to Dallas. That's it. You got to love the NBA.
They just tired, bro. That's all. They just tired. That's all.
And sometimes you're mostly tired. Those are two big wins over, you know, top three teams, and you get up for those games, and you take Dallas for granted, and you got to remember, they're still an NBA team, and they get you in the butt. I mean, it happens.
Yeah, you got to bring it every day.
I love it.
You can't have complacency. Sometimes you go against a team like that, you can't be complacent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I sure. Yeah, I mean, like I said, they're emotionally, they were probably draining if you whatnot, but – you know, it's good. And like we all said, you know, I'm sure we are all thinking the Grizzlies, after a lot of moves that happened in the West, you're like, man, they're kind of pushed out. They actually came out on fire. The team has still got the same core guys. A lot of chemistry is still there. So, again, I think, you know, for us kind of slighting them there, they've been playing very well, too. So we'll see how long the season goes. They don't have any major injuries for sure. But, let's keep an eye on the Grizzlies and what happens, too. Yeah, good.
One more thing about that. Did you read that where Chandler Parsons is getting booed by the Grizzlies fans?
Yeah.
Because he's not living up to the contract?
I was tripping up about that too. Yeah.
I was like, come on, Grizzlies fans. I mean, that dude been hurt. I mean, you know, you can't boo that man at home. I mean, it ain't like he was just out there not trying. Like, his knee is hurt. They were done for giving him that money when he was coming off that microfracture, I think it was. That's just – the microfracture is not something that – has gone away like the ACL. When you get your ACL torn, you still feel like, okay, medicine has advanced where you can come back and still be the guy at the torn ACL. That microfracture surgery on that knee, it still takes a little bit longer. And I don't know if he'll ever be the guy he was before he signed it, but that one to me is a bad signing, but he's going to take that money. But come on, Grizzlies fans, give him a break. His knee is falling off.
It is like 50-50. It is 50-50, JQ, because whenever I was reading that, it's like it's tough because – you know, whenever he took the contract, you didn't expect that to happen, clearly. But it's tough, man, because it's a lot of money to give, man. At least it's not Allen Houston type money. So I'm kind of on that.
Not Allen Houston.
He's still paying for that.
But they still pay. You know, there's certain contracts. You're like, dude, you still paying? So at least it wasn't like that. But again, it's like I'm sure they didn't expect to get hurt. So. You know, again, for whatever reason, it's just bad luck, bad timing. There's been some bad contracts signed for a lot of squads, you know. So, you know, they just let you know, like, they thought he was, like, the answer. But like you said, the Grizzlies are playing well. So it's not like total need him for sure, man. But it is what it is. Oh, man.
But you know
crazy.
What? The last thing about
that,
though, is
– in going to 10 innings.
He signed that contract after he had the surgery, I believe. I believe they thought he was going to come back better and stronger from that. And he got it afterwards because he had that big year and got hurt at the end in his contract year.
Yeah.
And he other superstars yeah. fell off, and then he still signed the money. So he was still hurting. So they took a calculated risk that he was going to bounce back from that surgery, and it just hasn't worked out for him is the point. He didn't sign and didn't get hurt. I don't believe it. I believe
okay.
he was hurt. And
yeah, yeah, that's why I'll check that out. Yeah, I'll check that out too. Cause I thought there was like a little surf chance with that too, man. But again, that it's mm-hmm. crazy for sure. All right, let's talk about this really quickly.
Hey, what's up with these Minneapolis Lakers jerseys?
Damn, man, those Tata Blues are fresh.
Wow.
Wow. They are.
That's
I like
what's
those.
Up.
Got a copy of my Tar Heel?
Uh-oh.
No, that's what they wore
Rob's
back in the day. That's
fan.
What it was. Yeah.
Rob's going to be another fan.
MPLS, man.
Rob's another team.
No,
fan.
That's history, man.
Rob.
That's George Mikan in the center. That's history right
George
there.
George Mikan, yeah.
They wore in Minneapolis, yeah.
Wow. Good call. All right, here. Let's talk about this here. LeBron James' point guard performance against the Bulls. This is a stretch here. Could he be the best point guard in the league if he played the position every night? What say you, JQ?
Who? I mean, yeah, he could be. If he played point guard every night, because you got to understand, that's what he really wants to do, ultimately. But he's so big and strong that you just got to put him down there at the three or the four. And if you want to go small, you could put him at the five if you felt like it. But I mean, the dude, that's what he wants to do. We always talk about it. Kobe is more Michael. And LeBron is more Magic. So to me, it's not a big stretch for what he's doing. And, you know, he could. I'm not taking anything from the Hardens and the Westbrook to the world and minimizing and trivializing what they do as point guards in this league. But with LeBron's talent and the way he sees the game and his ability to get his own shot and his willingness to get others involved because he knows he can get his own shot when he feels like it, he could at least be top three, if not number one. He could be close. I mean, the dude is still a stud.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, if he's got handles like that, bro, that'd be a whole other conversation too, man. But, yeah, he's definitely more, you know, Magic, like you talked about too. Rob, what are your thoughts about this, Rob?
Well, I totally agree. Absolutely. I mean, you look at the game against the Bulls last night, 34 points, 13 assists. Just think about what James Harden has done last year when Mike D'Antoni gave the ball to James Harden and ran the point. And he was still able to score the basketball. He's still one of
MVP.
The league leaders in assists and MVP
yep.
candidate.
Close,
and,
yeah,
I mean, LeBron has always, as JQ mentioned, always been kind of like a point forward already. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's kind of shared the duties with Kyrie Irving here the last couple of years. So he hasn't been totally in that role. He shared the duties. But I think as a full-time point guard, he could have been just as good as a Magic Johnson at the mm-hmm. point guard position. And a better scorer version of Magic Johnson, too.
Easily.
I mean, definitely. And when you look at what he's been able to do, so almost, like I said, a better scoring version of a Magic Johnson. So he could have possibly had that opportunity. I'm pretty sure Cleveland won't leave him in that position. Obviously, they got some injuries right now with Derrick Rose, Isaiah Thomas, both still being out in that regard.
Come
but
on.
He had a great game last night. He had a great game tonight, too, but his team laid the egg in Brooklyn, losing to Brooklyn.
You cannot do that because you want that pick. You don't want them to have wins. That's just a double whammy for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? You want that pick to be as high as it can be based off the Isaiah Thomas trade, right? So do your part, Cleveland.
Yeah, man, good call. I mean, again, as much as, I don't want to keep talking about LeBron because, you know, we just keep hearing about your boy. But, yeah, probably easily good call to both as far as him being a great point guard, if you will, too, man. So good call. All right, 6 minutes here. Let's talk really quickly. I do want to talk about Giannis, the Greek Freak, and Kupupa Yabama, and how he takes over for LeBron.
And, Kupupa.
And this guy, yeah, the Greek Freak, man, is looking fantastic. But I do want to talk about, you know, I know you don't want to talk about Ben Simmons, man. That dude's doing his thing, too, man. You know, shutting him in, triple-double,
mm-hmm.
too, man, or first game.
Yeah.
But, again.
Triple-doubles already, LSU.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. But
damn thief.
I mean, he's got a long way to go. He's got a long way to go. He's not in that league just yet. But what I'm saying, I think the Greek Freak is definitely poised to kind of be that. You know, he's getting a lot of confidence right now for his team, and I'm going to say yes on that too, man. So Again, I don't know if he's going to be as big for the league and making that big of an impact, but he's definitely on the cusp right now of becoming the next great player, if you want, a superstar for sure. So what are your thoughts about that, Rob?
Well, I think definitely he's that guy. Kevin Durant may be still in the running for that as well. But mm-hmm. Antetokounmpo, man, this guy is you see how long this dude's arms are? Is? Man.
Yeah.
He's about 6'7". His wingspan must be about 9 feet.
Man, it ain't 9. Come on, man.
Yeah.
It's like 7'1".
I'm exaggerating, of course, but still.
Yeah. It is like 7'1".
He ain't dragging his arms, though, but yeah.
Yeah.
You're good.
But he gets it done on both ends of the floor. His basketball game has really evolved.
Confidence.
And, he's really been able to do it on the outside. He's really been able to do it posting up. He's really been able to run the floor and score in transition as well. So he's definitely the total package in that regard. From a scoring standpoint, you know, Kevin Durant can penetrate and get to the basket as well as shoot it as well. But I think overall his game is probably already a lot more diverse than Kevin Durant's game is. And but obviously Durant's on a better team. And but I think he's definitely that guy to take over the torch. Will he ever be as big as LeBron? Probably not, for the simple fact that the thing you got to remember about LeBron is, you know, we heard about LeBron since he was in high school. And Antetokounmpo, of course, played overseas, so he was relatively unknown coming into the NBA. So it still is taking the rest of the world time to get to know him a little bit more. So from a worldwide exposure standpoint, he didn't have what LeBron had coming into the league, unfortunately. But eventually he will be there. Yeah, I think the world is still getting to know him a little bit.
There it is. Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, and I was going to say, LeBron did. But another thing about it is that he plays in Milwaukee. And that's not a shot to Milwaukee, so don't nobody text us or tweet us that. But I'm saying it's not a mecca really of the world. If he leaves, I'm just saying, if he leaves and goes to a bigger city or goes somewhere where more story franchise that, you know, that has a bigger media market, they can push him and put him up on those skyscrapers downtown and whatnot. I'm just saying, he has that potential to take that leap if he goes there, because he's got the personality and he definitely has the game. He's got to work on his shot. It's not consistent, especially from, you know, mid-range to outside. But he's so long, to Rob's point, that he can get to the basket. He's got crazy handles to be 6'11", you know. And, the other piece of it is that he can be a lockdown defender when he wants to be, with that length and that physical ability. He reminds me of a bigger version of Kawhi Leonard in the way that they can play defense and then go defense to offense. But Kawhi's jump shot is better, and that's where Greek Freak has got to get better. Johnson's got to get better. But he's got everything else. That dude is a pleasure to watch out there playing. Mm-hmm. You can see him gaining confidence, to your point, Dre, as the game goes and as these games go by in the Florida game, just filling himself and then, you know, just going nuts. So he's definitely excited. He's really who I thought that Anthony Davis was going to be to take that choice, but Anthony Davis just can't stay healthy. So I think he's lost that kind of next runner to Giannis and maybe to a Cat who's not as athletic but still a phenomenal player for Minnesota. But they're in those markets where if they got free – and went to a big market with their skill set, I mean, especially Greek Freak, he could very well be that next guy.
Well, like I said, don't freak out.
Point about Anthony Davis, he hurt his knee last night, day to day. Came out of the game in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Hey, Rob, go ahead and set up the OT portion. We've got about a minute 30, and we'll talk about the get off our fantasy in there as well, too. So go ahead, Rob.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got more sports to talk about. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of our show live, so click on the same link on tomorrow. We still have more NBA. We have more NFL, so you definitely want to click on the same link on tomorrow to hear the rest of our NBA and NFL coverage as well. And for those of you all waiting for the fantasy shout-outs, don't look like we're going to get in our live portion. Click on the same link on tomorrow.
Oh, we're going to talk about
it. You'll hear those same fantasy shout-outs on our OT portion. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back on the air next Wednesday night. That's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. For our friends in Hawaii, aloha. It's going to be 5 p.m. Hawaii time. Good night, people.
Yes, sir. Thanks for listening to us. Download the podcast. Go Chargers. That's just despicable what's happening in L.A. That's just so wrong what they did to them. They can't fill out a 22,000-seat stadium.
That's crazy.
It's like a high school stadium, man.
That's
man,
awful.
That's crazy. That is crazy. That's what we do. We're going to talk about it. Hey, and Zach, send all your emails to JQ at Talking Sports at 12 Minutes, because I know Zach's a huge Milwaukee fan, so he may not be happy
Listen.
To be trying to, like, sell off his squad and talk about
I'm not,
league, man.
I'm just saying in terms of being the next star in marketability. Hey, I've been in Milwaukee. No disrespect. I had a ball in Milwaukee for the 16 months I was there every week for work like Rob does in Houston. So, no disrespect to Milwaukee. I had a ball.
It's not. I know. I'm just giving you a hard time, man, because Zach's, like I said, Zach is a huge fan, man, so it's crazy. But, all right, let's talk about this. Let's talk about fantasy, Rob, as I'm ready to talk about this next subject, too. But talk about fantasy here, man. That was crazy, man. Bad week.
All right, fantasy shots. We'll start with the first week of fantasy basketball. Ronald, Saints Pelicans 23. He had an 8-0 shutout victory over Anthony Davis, the new 23. Once again, Ronald, Saints Pelicans 23, 8-0. Ronald from New Orleans. The biggest first week, and, of course, that puts him in first place after only 1 week so far. League number two, let's see, my co-host, Ohio Players, JQ, beat my other co-host, Andre, Straight Cash Homies,
so
130.78
so
over 81.52. Man, you have to do them like that,
freaking.
JQ.
Hey,
your
Matt
Ryan back
was,
and goes
worst,
to the first place, 6-1.
I'm so pissed about that. He had Matt Ryan. We needed him to go off.
Oh,
I thought he was going to go off against that defense. Not. They're like, oh, it's going to be a shootout.
Mm-hmm.
Not. That's a whole other conversation. Mm-hmm. That is just bad. Fantasy forecast is wrong. I'm sorry.
We know
as
the season goes along. How about Josh Smith signing with the Pelicans? They're trying to make a return to the NBA.
That's hilarious.
That is hilarious. Go ahead. I'm
sorry.
If you
got anything left in the tank. All right, league number two. My team, the Soldiers, with a 122.04 victory over ATL Black Belt, 65.82.
Mark.
And in this league, my co-host Andre's in first place, playoffs, 6-1 record. League number three, Larry from Houston, Saints Pelicans 23, with a 131.94 victory over winning, 60.20. And JQ, Ohio Players, 6-1 in first place in league number three. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. We're all in first place in one league. Let's see. And
hey,
league number four, biggest win of the week, Marcy from Atlanta, baby got backfield. The 109.76 victory over Birds, or 109.76 to 104.54 over Birds flew south. Thanks for helping us out, Marcy, and giving him another loss. Birds from South still in first place with a 5-2 record.
Can I just drop a ridiculous story for y'all in another league that I'm not in with Dre and Rob? I was down 31 points on Monday night and had Alshon Jeffrey, Zach Ertz, and Jake Elliott the kicker, and I came all the way back and took a 1.8 point lead, and I lost the game. I lost 2 points when Elliott missed that field goal at the end when it was up 10 and had no reason to kick it. And I lost about 0.8 points.
Wow.
that's gotta hurt, right? Well, man, so that was. I mean, but you, that was more than what you expected. Though, honestly, you probably didn't expect to even be in it, though, at that juncture, right?
No, and they came back, and his kick gave me the lead, right? No, and then
that's crazy.
And then he blew it when they made it, when he kicked it. They were up 10, and Washington didn't have any timeouts. All they had to do was run it up the middle and give it back to Washington. I was in here livid.
Hey, that's kind of like that fantasy basketball championship last year.
Exactly.
I went to bed thinking I had the victory.
He wakes up like, what just happened?
Some kind of way, man. You must have had something like with Devin Booker went 14-for-14 from the foul line.
Yes, sir. I was sitting there like, let's go down there. I so wanted to get him this year. I was mad when I couldn't get him. I feel like
I got this championship.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
no, it's heartbreaking. Sorry, y'all. I just had to throw that in there because that's just one of those crazy things that happen when you play fantasy. But, hey, I love it. I told y'all I was going to be in it. Now I watched it go haywire this week. But, hey, we the host of the shows. We got to be in first place. We got to
we gotta talk.
We got to back it up.
I was just mad, man. I could have been 7-0, man. That crazy. It is, man, it's so bad. Oh, so mad about that. Anyway, we'll get it. Like I said, I was looking for the match, too. I wasn't going to talk too much junk, but then I was watching the stats. I'm like, man, this is terrible. No matter how. Anyway, it's all good. We'll dust it off, man. We'll shake it off. Let's talk about
long season.
Kyrie Irving. Yeah, it is a long season. So Kyrie, and now Rob, I got to ask you where you got this topic from. This is pretty interesting, man. So question is Kyrie better off as a Scottie Pippen? So, you know, we talked about earlier, you know, the whole like underlying theme why Kyrie left. Because he didn't want to be like the Robin to the Batman, apparently. And you know, he still kind of was whenever, you know, you get like the, you know, Gordon Hayward or some of that now. And right now, I don't know if it's because of the shock of what happened with Gordon Hayward or what's happening. I know that team is, they have to kind of refocus, if you will. But is he better at being, I guess, Scottie Pippen is the question, Rob, or is it just kind of early in the season right now?
Yeah, I don't envision him being the type of player that will be the best player on this team and win a championship. And that's not the downgrade his talents by any stretch of the imagination. But I've always said for years, Carmelo Anthony cannot be the best player on this team if they're going to have any opportunity of winning the championship. He's going to have to be the second or the third option at best if he's going to have an opportunity to win the championship. And in Kyrie Irving's case, Scottie Pippen was one hell of a basketball player, so there's nothing, bad to say about being that second guy on your team. You know, in today's NBA, you need a minimum of 2 to 3 All-Stars on your team to have a chance of winning the championship. So just in my personal opinion and my personal evaluation, I think he has to be I think he needs a guy that's going to be the superstar, and he maybe be the second guy on the team in order to compete for a championship down the road. So, I mean, even when Gordon Hayward comes back, he's probably still the number one guy and not the number two guy. I mean, Boston's 2-2 so far. And I tell you what about this Boston team, Jaylen Brown and Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And those guys have been balling. And
that's
obviously
those
two high draft
that's
picks, and you expect that. And but man, you wonder if they ever need Gordon Hayward the way those two guys are playing. But obviously, Gordon Hayward brings another offensive dynamic, you know, from shooting the basketball and going forward and being able to penetrate as well. But Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum look like they're going to be studs as well for that team.
Jason Tatum is an Ohio player.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
How about your boy? Go ahead.
So, I saw Colin talking about this, and he made a good point of everybody wants to be the man and be in the man club, but, you know, when you take that and be the face of the franchise, you're always the one that everybody wants to talk to, and you don't have that ability to play stress-free. I think it's a learned – sometimes it's for people who just have it, and sometimes it can be learned. I think it can be learned. But I don't think Kyrie makes it because if you want to just be honest, he's just too small. And I say that, but, you know – think about most of the champions that the NBA has had. You got to go back to before if you want to say Curry's the best, because, I mean, he is, but Curry's just an anomaly, so to speak. But last year he had Kevin Durant. He also has Draymond Green to do that dirty work for him. So you look back at it, you're talking about the Isaiah Thomas Pistons, really, where they were truly led, you know, on a team. The leader was like 6'1".
Allen Iverson,
bro.
Allen Iverson.
But Allen Iverson didn't win
a
championship.
He didn't win a championship.
Okay,
I'm talking about winning the
title. I'll give you that one.
I'm talking about titles to carry a team to a title. That doesn't happen really from the point guard position more often than not.
We talking about playoffs. We talking about championships.
Yeah, I'm talking about titles.
He's
talking about being the man and going to Boston and winning titles. That was his premise for leaving to go. Once you won with LeBron, if you leave to go be the man, it can't be just to be the man and to make the playoffs, right? It's got to be to be the man and win titles because you've already won a title with him as the second banana, so to speak. So I just feel like that's just where it goes, that he won't be able to just take over a game from his size unless he just gets unconscious for a whole playoff series, you know, season, so to speak. I don't think he has the size to take over that where LeBron, if things don't happen, he can still say, okay, I'm going to get to my back to the basket and put it some, you know, low post together. It's not his forte, but he can go to that well if he needs to. Kyrie doesn't have that. So I think that's where I get the point. I think he's going to have to be a number two, but I don't think his ego and his mindset will ever let him admit to that.
Well, yeah, fair enough. Yeah, good call. And you nailed it. You did say I was going to have to retract that whenever talking about titles too. And I was literally thinking in my head about, like, you know, any like point guard that's done that. And you're pretty right. I mean, it has to go back. I mean, since Isaiah Thomas, that's been a minute. Yeah, as far as like just like a true leader on a squad too, man. That's won championships too, man. So yeah, I mean, even the Jordan days, Magic Johnson days. I mean, it's tough to have that too, man. So Kyrie, you know, right
Boston,
now, yeah. you got
Houston.
Your wish, bro. You're there. You're kind of the man, if you say so. He has the opportunity to change the course of history. If he does that, then more power to him, because, again, right now he is kind of filling that role. And this, what you said too, Rob, as far as, you know, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, because of the Hayward injury, we are seeing their game getting expanded too. So that's kind of a blessing in disguise for the Celtics. And then if they do, you know, once Hayward comes back stronger, you know, hopefully next year, then that team could be even more complete. But again, that's if then, you know, if that even comes back around too, man. So, you know, that team is you know, we're not crying for Boston by any means, but, you know.
But just think about how versatile they're going to be next year if Gordon Hayward's come back healthy. I mean, from a versatility standpoint, you really could have Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, Tatum and Brown on the floor at the same time, and maybe El Horford. I mean, from a versatility standpoint, that's a team that can cause some teams some problems. Tatum and Brown could be interchangeable with the type of player they can guard and things of that nature. Yeah, I can see. I know we had a debate earlier this year, and this was before Kyrie decided to go to Boston when we was really having that debate, you know, if Boston could overtake Cleveland this year. And, I mean, I probably don't envision that happening now with Gordon Hayward being out for sure. But, I think going forward, they're definitely not far away, that's for sure, if Gordon Hayward come back, when you look at the way Jaylen Brown and Tatum is developing and the versatility that they're going to have on their basketball team. They're definitely close.
I told you last year that Jaylen Brown was the best player, the way he guarded LeBron in that series, and you're right. But the only thing about Al Horford now, you got to understand, it's part of the reason why he wanted to leave Atlanta is because he does not like to play the five. He wants to play the four. And I don't know if he can play the four in this NBA, but that's what he wants to do, and part of the reason why he chose to go to Boston over staying in Atlanta. So you're right. If they go to that five, I think that's the best five they could have, what you said. That's spot on. But when you have any kind of chemistry issues with Horford, who came there not to play that role, and basically is now you're saying, okay, you got to play that role. Sorry, bro. I know we told you, but that ain't the way it is. You know what I mean? What does that do to his mindset, and will that sabotage the team? I think it's the best lineup for them, but it's only the best lineup if everybody buys in.
That's true. Good call. Yeah, good call. 100% agreeing with that. All right, gentlemen, we're having some fun here. And this is for you, JQ, as far as, you know, your Lakers here. And it's been a pretty good game right now. Lonzo Paul is actually winning the battle versus John Wall. That's crazy. But right now, is LeVar kind of ruining his son's rookie year with his shenanigans? And we knew this was going to be a challenge. I know, JQ, you don't want any part of this, you know. But I do got to say right now that, you know, Lonzo's kind of, you know, it's been exciting to watch from my, you know, I'm watching the Lakers because I want to see how he plays. For sure, man. But, you know, what do you think about LeVar and his shenanigans, bro?
I told you. What they said, what everybody's been saying, Patrick Beverly to Jamie Foxx and Stephen A. Smith, is I told you, if you go back and listen to the show, is that LeVar Ball is going to put a bullseye on his back and there will be no nice house because dudes are going to come in and energize because they don't want to hear LeVar Ball talk junk about what Lonzo did to them. I said that. I think almost verbatim like that, and it's playing out just like that, and I knew that it would. So the question is, does Lonzo get to a breaking point with his dad? Like, okay, you know, this was cool when it was junior high or high school or even my 1 year at UCLA. But now, we're with the big boys now. This is the NBA. and that ain't going to work. These are grown men that have are honing and perfecting their craft that you can't talk to, like you talked about a 15-year-old and getting their head like that. Well, that works some nights, maybe to some of the weaker-minded NBA players, but more often than not, those dudes are going to come in with a boulder, not a chip, but a boulder on their shoulder because you ain't going to talk bad about them. So it depends. Maybe LeVar is his muse, and that's what he uses to get himself going because he can't say it. He doesn't have that in his personality, so he needs LeVar to be that for him. Or he gets to the point of, man, come on, Dad. You know, these grown men, just let me play my game. I got this now. You got me here, but now I got it. So that dynamic, I think, is going to be interesting to watch moving forward because they're going to – it's either he's okay with it, the longer he goes and he doesn't say anything, the more people are going to also put the bulls out and say, okay, you're not saying anything and not stepping up to your dad and bringing him in, so you must like this. So he must be saying what you want to hear to get you going. Let me come on and add something to tell you, young buck, that's not what you want. So I think he's going to – I think it is going to ruin it. I'm just saying, it ain't necessarily what you want. They're going to come after him. And Patrick Beverley just went nuts in that opener. So he's got to come up with something. Yes, sir. He's got to come up with something. But at some point, he ain't going to be able just to be silent and say, oh, no, I don't pay no mind. That's my dad. I've been living with it. At some point, he's going to have to be defending the one way or the other, or it's going to keep going exactly like this.
Rob?
Just saying.
You guys may recall this, but you remember the Williams sisters' dad?
Oh yeah,
Richard. And how outspoken he was when his girls first came out on the national scene playing tennis, and everyone kind of even Americans hated the Williams sisters because of their dad. And I don't know what happened, but at some point he just finally went away. And I mean, I know the situation with him and their mom and things of that nature, but at some point, I don't know if it was the girls having a conversation with them or what happened. He finally went away at some point, and I think at some point, for Lonzo's sake, that LeVar has got to realize that for his son and move on and stay out of that and stay out of the limelight for the sake of his son. And I don't know if that light will ever come on with LeVar, but I think hopefully it will at some point for the sake of his son. Because at JQ, everybody, they're going for his lunch every day. They want to bully him every night and take his lunch money and everything else. And teams across the league, players, they definitely, don't want to show out against him. There's no doubt about it. But at some point, his dad has got to wake up. I don't know who's got to have that conversation with him or that light has just come on inside of his head himself there. But hopefully, for the sake of Lonzo, that it will happen. Wow, we got a tie game again, 5-5, bottom of the 10th.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, but the thing about that, though, is you're right. It's almost close, but the difference is hitting a running forehand winner up the line is a lot different than a dude putting his body on you and punishing you because of what your dad says. You know what I mean? Like, it's a physical toll of punishment that I got to endure. So I agree with what you're saying. I think that
it is not a physical sport. The basketball is. You're right.
Right. For Williams' sister. But I think that point is going to have to come a lot sooner because you get tired of people just taking an extra special, gratification out of just bumping and knocking you down every single chance they get when they're on the court with you. Like, that's the reality of his situation right now. So either they kind of have a come-to-Jesus moment, or we get to the point where we just are like, Lonzo likes this ish, and he's thriving off of it. He needs his dad to kind of say that to get him going. But if he lets it keep going, I don't think that's going to help him because if players realize that or think they realize that about him, that he needs LeVar to keep going nuts to get himself going, it's never going to end.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna take it a whole other direction, JQ, because you just kind of went off. What if LeVar is like the most genius person out here, man, and he's creating like his ultimate like player, and he's actually helping Lonzo get to this next level, man. What if by him doing all this, and it's making Lonzo tougher, preparing him, prepping him for the league. So, you go through that first, tough season, like the Jackie Robinson role, you go through all that crap, and the next thing you know, you just come out of it, you bruised and battered, but you become like this amazing player because everyone's after you. What if it's something like that?
Well,
what if it's
going to take
that? You're just like, dude, Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, it is what it is, bro, because you already like, yo, this is the guy. Boom, let's hit him up. You're giving them the best.
That's a tough way to go about it.
At the end of it is pretty, but I mean, I'm not saying it's the right way, but I'm just telling you, what if in some type of weird kind of crazy way that all of this talk is making Lonzo become a really good player, you know, and it's not great while you're going through it, but at the end of the year, you can look back and be like, man, Lonzo is actually pretty damn good because of the fact that he's gone through the trials, the tribulations, everybody's gunning for you, blah, 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 blah. You're getting the best shots. You're getting knocked down. You're getting – and, you know, he's taking it. He's not – you don't hear him complaining like, oh, man, I wish my dad – he's just taking it. And you got to give Lonzo credit for that too because, it could be easy like, oh, man, come on, dad, shut up, you know, whatever. But he's taking it. And he's becoming a better player for it. I mean, because no one wants to get your lunch eaten by Patrick Beverly, but I guarantee you the next time he sees Beverly, he's going to have something for him. I guarantee that, you know?
That could be true. I'm not going to sit here. I'm not going to downplay what you're saying because that could 100% be the fact. That's what I'm saying. He's taking it and using it. But my thing is just that puts him in such a more of a high-pressure situation and much more physical punishment than he would normally have
Lakers,
to take.
Bro. Lakers,
but he was.
That's what I'm
saying. He was going to have pressure. But why make the pressure worse? There are degrees of pressure. You know, not all pressure is made the same. There's light pressure. There's mild pressure. There's heavy pressure. He was going from medium pressure, I think, because he's a rookie drafted and high playing for the Lakers. But then when you throw LeBar in there, just clowning, you know, after every game. Like it's not like it's like once every couple weeks. It's every game he's out there. Just it don't matter. You know, we good.
Yeah.
We're going to do it next time. We're going to see you. We ain't losing twice. You know what I mean? Like, you already have a certain amount of pressure that's going to come with that, of medium pressure. But now it's heavy pressure with LeBar just out there going pure nuts on the microphone. So, it could work. As you know, it takes a lot to harden steel. You know what I'm saying? So that could be the case. But I just don't know why you would choose to go down that option. Like, who chooses to go down the option of just falling and falling on spikes and going through trees when you can away? Not easy.
I mean,
don't say easy because it never was going to be easy, but that's a tough road to hoe.
Yeah. Well, like I said, again, we'll talk about that. It's just interesting. I know I don't want to put Rob to sleep or anything like that, but, again, I'm just saying, what if he's like this great public master and at the end of the day, you know, it's actually becoming the best for him too, so – that's all I'm
I'll give him
here.
Credit when that if that happens. I'll give him credit.
All right,
if that
really quick. Yeah, let's wrap this up so we can wrap up. Really quickly, will LeBron finish his career as the all-time leading scorer? What say you, Rob?
Well, he's definitely well on pace for it at the rate that he's going. So obviously, if he's healthy here for the next 4 or 5 years or so, he's definitely on that pace. For being the all-time leading scorer in NBA history. Obviously, coming right out of high school helped tremendously, and he instantly was over 20-point game scorer as a rookie in the league, so that also helps tremendously as well. So he's definitely on that pace. If he takes care of his body, stays healthy here for the next 4 or 5 years or so, he's definitely well on that pace to becoming that.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to take maybe 5 to 6 years because I think at some point you see him start to slow down. But he's so big and his basketball IQ is so high that he'll find a way to still average 20 points a game. I don't think he'll ever dip to a 15. You know, barring, you know, this all assumes, you know, reasonable health as you get older. He takes pretty good care of his body. And he's also a student of the game. And he may not necessarily come out and say it in the press conference when you ask him about it and be coy, but he wants to have that mantle. He is measuring himself to Michael Jordan. He may not get there championship-wise, but if he gets there and gets, like, top 5 or 3 in assists, leads, you know, number one in points, where he can give himself another kind of argument and etch his name all the way at the top in as many categories in NBA history, he wants that. And you can't deny that piece of somebody that's that driven and that talented. If they want that and they stay healthy, you know, that being assumed, I think he gets there.
Yep, good call. Let's talk about this as we wrap this up here. As much as my heart, I don't know if Rob was trying to like really like, you know, dig into me or what, but Falcons or the Jets.
I would never
pick
do that
on this. I know
you lie.
Yeah, sucker. What say you, man? It's been a rough week, man. Go ahead, Rob.
I'm making the first pick. This is, you know, Andre thinks I'm rubbing salt in his wounds, but I'm not. But I think the Jets win this game at home. The Jets have been really competitive all year. I mean, we all know about the defensive line being one of the best in the league. And in some cases here, they're shocking the world when it comes from an offensive standpoint. Josh McCown hasn't been as bad as we thought he would be this season. So, the Jets won't make the playoffs this season. Let's be clear on that. But I actually think this is a phenomenal coaching job. What's the head coach there? Name? He's drawing a blank.
Todd Bowles.
I think he's doing a phenomenal coaching job to have this team competitive. This was a team that I thought was clearly going to be one or two or three at the worst as far as when it comes to the draft this upcoming season. I mean, they have a chance to be a 500 team, even with the personnel that they have on the offensive side of the football. And I like, surprisingly, Atlanta has been struggling offensively, and that's something I didn't expect this season. Obviously, part of it is offensive line, and I think part of it is the team doesn't seem to be in sync with Sarkisian yet, but the personnel is still there, and I would say for the most part this Atlanta team at some point can still be pretty scary, but I think the Jets won a close one at home.
It was wrong.
I got that from my homeboy. Yeah, but he ain't drinking. Since he stopped drinking, his play calling ain't as good. Maybe he needs to lick it to free up his imagination. You know what? I'm going to look at this, and again, homer pick number two, because I do want the Falcons to do well. You know, I'm going to say about what the Falcons to do well over here in Atlanta. I think this might be the week we look back and say this is the Julio Jones week. Now, I know Jamal Adams, I believe Mays, the other safety they took, have absolutely been playing pretty well for the Jets defense. That defensive line is pretty good as well. But Matt Ryan and McCown, with McCown not a lot of weapons, I put Trufant out there on Kurse and leave him on the island. And Robbie Anderson, I feel like you can contain him. I feel like this is the week where they say, you know what, if I throw four interceptions, but I was trying to get Julio 12 to 15 targets, and his lack of red zone targets is just appalling. And I think they try to go over and beyond to make up for that, because if you saw what he did at the end of that Patriot game where he just moused that fool and just took the ball, I think you're going to get a lot more of that. It's not going to be a blowout, but I think Atlanta, really, if you want to be honest, their season might be on the line, given that New Orleans is resurgent with a good defense. Carolina is still not bad, and you still have Tampa Bay there. They need this win. I think Atlanta gets this win.
Yeah, I'm on the same page, because I think it's like circle the wagons, bro, because, you know, we had a little confidence, you know, what we thought, but losing to the Bills and the Dolphins was like, and then lose the Patriots, it was like, what? And the city's like in a tailspin. So, you know, I wouldn't be – it's tough because, you know, we've played down our competition, but this is like the game that we got to come out and be like, yo, you know, any means necessary, like JQ said, man. So, very disappointing to see the Falcons play. It's not been good at all, man. So, for whatever reason, play calling, it's been bad. So, but I think they got to win, like you said, turn around the season, man, because they're getting a lot of flack here in Atlanta. Really quickly, let's talk about the top five teams, and we'll end the game here. In the show. So, give us your top five, Rob, and then JQ, and then let's end the show here.
Right now, I got to go with Philly, man. Offensively, Carson Wentz is, he's looking like the next future as far as being the elite quarterback here in the National Football League. He can extend plays. He can throw the football. Obviously, it looked like he's got it between the ears. And he's got the weapons as well. And defensively, they're playing really well with a 6-1 record. Right now, I can't put anybody ahead of them at the moment. Number two, we talked about New England. As the year goes along, Bill Belichick, Matt Patricia, Josh McDaniel, Todd Brady, they seem to fix whatever ails them. And they're slowly doing that as the season goes along. And so right now with a 5-2 record, I moved them up to the number two position, and as they're getting some more quality wins on their schedule. Another team that's kind of getting better, what you've seen over the last couple of weeks, is the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I have them at the number three spot. Even after some shaky wins early this season, they seem to be getting in sync and starting to hit their stride a little bit. Obviously, when you have Brown and Bell, some really key weapons on that team, they're starting to get it together defensively as well. I have them at the three spot. I still have the Chiefs in the top five at number four, even though they've lost two in a row. I still expect them to pick it back up here, maybe get another winning streak going here, and, you know, really have a quality season as well. Alex Smith and Kareem Hunt, obviously, I think will still get the job done. They got Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill as well, and then they still have some very good personnel on the defensive side of the football as well. So I still think they'll have a quality year. And the team that's somewhat surprising that I moved into the top five is the Vikings. I have them rounding up the top five defensively. They are a stud. Mike Zimmer still got them playing really well on that side of the football, and they're just getting by at the quarterback position. And, you know, and obviously it's a running back by committee right now after they've lost the running back from Florida State, Dalvin Cook.
Dalvin Cook.
So they're getting the job done. So right now I have them squeaking in at number five. But I think there's a lot of teams that's kind of like you can have 5B, 5C, 5D, but the Vikings is that team I have in the fifth position right now.
All Cowboys fans, send all your emails to Rob Ford at 12th Man Sports. All Cowboys fans.
Yeah, no.
Rob Ford.
The Cowboys got to be somebody that's good.
Cowboys got to be
somebody that's good first.
40-10 over the 49 is not going to cut it.
Right, exactly.
I just shit.
I got my Cowboys fans always ready to roll, man. Go ahead, thank you.
Yeah, no, I can't disagree with that five. It's really jumbled right now, but that's a solid five, and I'm just gonna go with that one. I think Oakland is on their way back. The same way Mark Cooper had his game. I think the same thing for Julio. What I said earlier. I think Carr is now back from that back fracture. That's a big win against Kansas City. So I will put them around there with Minnesota at that five spot. I agree with Rob that you can make some arguments for some other teams at that five spot. But yeah, that top five is pretty solid. This has been one crazy season. And Philadelphia, for as good as they looked, have lost now Jason Peters and they lost another defensive player for the year in that game against Washington. So how does that affect them moving forward? You know, I think this top five given this year is going to be fluid. But what we're going to find out is what we hate is that we're going to end up seeing New England and Pittsburgh being back up near the top with Kansas City probably floating around at three, and then a 4, 5, 6, 7 that's any given week, depending on who won or lost, is going to go up and down.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Good call. Yeah, I like it too because, you know, it's kind of a jumbled, kind of interesting league because we talked about too because there's some teams that we thought, man, this would not be I can't think of my thoughts here, but it's jumbled like we talked about. So good call on the top five. And we'll go with that too. So let's go ahead and end the show here because I know we're way beyond the boundaries of Pod Rock here. So Rob, wrap this up, and we'll be ready for next week.
Next week, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back on Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. in Albuquerque, 8 p.m. on the West Coast.
Come on, man.
And 5 p.m. in Honolulu. Definitely tune in on next week. Good night, people.
I mean, are you like pulling up, man? Man, what you pulling up like RamMcNally.com and just, you know, throwing a dart at random cities and giving them the time when the show is going to be on?
Hey, it just popped in my head, man. You know, you just come what comes, you just say what comes in your head at the moment.
You know what?
Hey, Albuquerque known for that big balloon festival, man.
Why do you even know that? Just some random Jeopardy question. I think this one thing actually works for us, though, given the topic. Shout out to Rog for giving us a good, you know, variety of topics across sports. Appreciate everybody for tuning in to the live portion and downloading this piece of the podcast. I'll holler at y'all next Wednesday.
Yes, sir. Hey, for two weeks, I'll be in New York, man, so I got to look at the times when I get there, too, man. So we'll see about that, how it plays out, too, man. So hopefully I'll still be doing the show on Wednesday. But, yeah,
right.
Just for a work thing here. So we'll talk about that as well, man. But all was good.
Yeah, work thing.
Yeah,
we appreciate that.
Like,
I'm going to New York to check out the state of the Giants, the Jets, the Knicks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. He's going to be up there opening the new Macy's. He's going to be up there DJing the new Macy's in Harlem, man. Man, ain't nobody out there ain't fooling nobody, man. He's out there doing the thing. He's just going to tell us who to do it.
Get moving and shaking.
It's going
to
be fun.
I know,
fun, man.
He's out there.
Yeah.
Kendrick Lamar over there, humble.
No, it's going to be fun. I don't want to say too much about it because we'll see how it plays out, man.
See?
But I'm very excited to see. So we'll see how it plays out again.
Told you, Rob.
If all goes well. But yeah,
see, I was DJing for Ryan Seacrest.
I'm not there yet,
hey,
man.
Hey.
So
you gonna who's
fun.
The guy who's doing New Year's Eve celebration in New York? Is gonna be Andre pretty soon. You gonna be replacing Dick Clark?
That'd be a Ryan Seacrest now, bro.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's crazy. If I just get like half of that salary, I'll be good, man. That's all I'm looking for, man. So it's
I hear that, Dre.
Yeah. I'm gonna do some little stuff every now and then.
I'm gonna take the titty out of your mouth. Not being a baby saint.
He always had to get that in somehow. He been waiting for that, Rob. Like 12:09 of the show, we can listen to that one quote. But anyway, it's been
at least
a pleasure.
At least it is in the OP portion.
Give him a little something. Give him a little taste, Rob. Give him a little taste.
Oh, man. I got nothing. Gentlemen, it's always been a privilege sharing the field of battle with you. Till next week, gentlemen. Have a great weekend. And I'm sure we'll be definitely texting and talking to each other about the game as well, too. So be good, gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
Good night.
Big timer.
Yeah, I love it.